right here, right now. I put the offer out. I don't want to chase you down. I know you see it. You run with me and I can cut you free out of the drudgery and walls you keep in. So trade that typical for something colorful. And if it's crazy, live a little crazy. You can play it sensible, a king of conventional, or you can risk it all and see. That's a set of lyrics from a recent movie. Anybody know what it is? The Greatest Showman. I heard it right behind me. That's right. It's the lyrics from the song The Other Side. The Greatest Showman, a movie of about P.T. Barnum, played by Hugh Jackman, who recruits a bunch of unusual people to star in a show which eventually gets coined by a critic as a circus. It was a term meant to be derogatory, but he seizes on it as a great showman would. Barnum convinces his recruits who have spent their lives in the darkness because of physical disfiguration or some kind of physical issues that makes them odd or unusual to step into the light, to shine out in a world that would reject them and want them to stay in the dark. However, in this particular song, Barnum is trying to convince someone who is on the privileged side of the social spectrum, the wealthy socialite Carlisle, played by Zac Efron, to leave that comfortable, soul-numbing life he is leading and risk going into business with Barnum. Barnum, throughout the movie, proves to be a master of recruitment. His carefully selected unusual person's response is often immediate and complete. He is so effective, in fact, that, spoiler alert, even when he rejects his unusual recruits for the lure of high society availed through the singing talents of Jenny Lind, his cast forgive him, and they follow him even when his dream lies in ruins, burnt ashes. He helps them to rebuild, to reimagine. Whether it's true or whether it's fiction, Barnum represents this sense that you have to turn away from seeking fame and recognition at any expense, and by turning back toward a call to be looking out for the most unrecognized, underprivileged people in society, he finds his true calling and also discovers the greatest show is in his own house with his own family. The movie is a compelling commentary on acceptance and forgiveness and perspective. I highly recommend it. Barnum's palpable passion and strong conviction of his dream convince people to join him. He was a master recruiter, not too unlike the master recruiter we read about today. Jesus takes over John the Baptist's message. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. People don't just write Jesus off as crazy for saying this. They actually respond. Repent. We hear that word over and over again. We heard it in the text from Jonah. You hear it all the time. It's almost so ordinary in church talk that it loses its meaning. But in essence, it's not just, it's about a reorientation, a turning. To many, in Jesus' day, this was a dream. This kingdom of God, this turning toward that kingdom, it was a bold declaration, defiance, to say that God's kingdom was at hand when so many suffered and were not living the dream. So Jesus, as I said last week, he needed a cast. But he doesn't appear to use a careful, crafted recruitment strategy. He seems to go after whatever is at hand. Like a fisherman, he throws his net out, and he catches first Simon and Andrew. The response to Jesus' invitation is immediate and complete. The New Revised Standard Version, which you have in the pew, translates verse 17 as, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And that makes it sound as if fishing for people is a task to add to the other lists of tasks in our lives. Okay, I'll work that in after I do my day job, after my children's school activities, after I run all my errands, after I do all my housework. But I think something's lost when we stray from the original Greek, which in essence, in a very wooden translation, is this: follow me, and I will make you to become fishermen of people. In other words, it's not an additional task, but as I said with the children, it's a whole new identity. It's an entirely new orientation of how to live your life. Somewhat like what Barnum was inviting Carlyle to do. We, the followers of Jesus, can oftentimes think our Christian identity is a task orientation rather than a life orientation. I was watching a show the other day, it was a sitcom. One of the characters was discussing how she did 9 walks to end different kinds of diseases. Tasks, things we do. Mission, or sharing the good news, is not necessarily first and foremost an activity. It's a state of mind and soul. Our vocation, our calling, is to have our whole lives be caught up in what God is doing. To be able to immediately respond to what Christ calls us to do. So I think it's helpful for us to consider the difference between discipleship as a task and discipleship as an identity. Using the metaphor of the fishermen, it is not possible for fishermen to always be throwing out the nets to catch fish. There are preparations, mending the nets, repairing the tools that are bound to get damaged in the ever-changing environments of life's oceans. In other words, when Jesus recruits us, he recruits us not for particular task, but for orienting our life around discipleship. We have to be learning, growing, being challenged by the interactions we have with other people, by the challenges in our own life, to respond first and foremost out of our identity in Christ, and then to engage the world around us, not with primarily what we do, but with who we are. Followers of Jesus. Recruits for life. Candy Cheng, creator of the campaign Before I Die, had a moment of clarity after a sudden death of a dear friend. She says she woke up from living a life of complacency to a life with a sense of urgency. Thoughts of death and grief brought clarity to what was meaningful in her life. She had a vision for an abandoned house across the street from her New Orleans home to make it a place where people could feel connected to other people. Chang turned the house into a giant chalkboard. Some of you may have known about this. And wrote the incomplete sentence, "Before I die, I want to blank." Responses people wrote on there, the whole house got filled, ranged from very silly to profound, from sadness and regret to hope and joy. "I want to sing for millions. I want to plant a tree. I want to live off the grid. I want to hold her one more time. I want to follow my childhood dream." It seems that the deepest and most profound ones were not about necessarily a task, but for an orientation, a new orientation of how to understand your life. Before I die, I want to be certain that I have been a fisherman for Jesus. I want to know that I have been used my calling to help others to experience the joy of being caught up in Christ and to commit their life to following after him. I want to rest in the knowledge that I will never have all the answers to suffering and strife and sorrow, but I want to look like those first followers who didn't have all the details, who didn't have the plan in their pockets to be able to draw back and know what they're going to do, know where they're going to go, but they said, "I am recruited for life." I want to know the purpose of the life that Jesus calls me to live. I want to show his life and what I am and who I am. 3 more of our members have been called into ordained ministry in our church. We will ordain and install them today. They will not always be performing the tasks of elder and deacon, but starting this day, that is now part of their identity. Every moment, every day will be shaped by this identity. Their calling colors their identities as husband, wife, teacher, therapist, insurance agent. All of that is now caught up anew in a new identity. Think about your own discipleship. Has it turned into just a list of tasks that you believe God wants you to do and that you'll get around to when you have the time or the energy? Or have you thought of your discipleship as your whole life recruited to follow Jesus in every moment of every day? That is what those first disciples understood. They followed after Jesus even after he was no longer on the earth. They struggled and they questioned, they doubted, they fumbled, but they never stopped following after him. We are recruits for life. We are claimed by the compelling grace of the one who says, "Follow me," and we immediately respond. Because this is what our lives were meant to be. This is a life we were meant to give away to others. This is a life that means more to us as we live in the light of Jesus' grace and love and acceptance. Recruits for life. Now to the Lord who speaks to us, calls us, and gives us strength to follow after him, be all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.